There's been a lot of talk about police reform in New Hampshire this year with, you know, the protests this summer and the Governor's Commission on Police Accountability and Transparency. Has this led to conversations about reform at the Manchester Police Department?
Obviously, we got a copy of the LEAC's recommendations. I believe there was 48 of them total, and shortly after becoming chief, dove into it deeper and provided the mayor with kind of an analysis of where the PD was at and found that we're in very good shape, to be honest with you, relative to those recommendations. From body cams, we've had them for a little over a year. That was a big one. Then the in-service training was another one. And prior to that coming out, we had developed a plan here at the PD for calendar year 21 that we're going to have our in-service training for each officer will be at 40 hours, where I think the commission was recommending 24. So we're kind of already ahead of that game there. And we're going to cover all the topics that they had mentioned in there, bias-based, de-escalation, cultural diversity training. So all of that is, we've already programmed that for 21.
Is there a follow-up after that training? That happens 1 week a year for a particular, you know, officer or detective, mm-hmm. but is there some kind of follow-up with that?
No, there's really not a need. I mean, we hit the major topics. Throughout the year, we do additional firearms training, some additional scenario-based training, but we do that now. Mm-hmm. So I think we're in pretty good shape relative to the training piece.
Black Lives Matter has been one of the leading organizations in the state around these conversations about police reform. Have you met mm-hmm. with any representatives from Black Lives Matter Manchester?
The day before I was confirmed as the chief, I was sat on a Zoom meeting with the mayor's Multicultural Diversity Council that she formed, and a member of BLM was on that call. And we've interacted with other members of BLM as well as members of NAACP. I think we're fortunate in this part of the country that we don't see things that are going on in other parts of the country, but we realize that could change this afternoon, right? I mean, you know, that could change in the next 5 minutes. And the relationships that we have and that we're trying to build on in the community, I think are going to posture us, you know, God forbid something happens in the city where, you know, you may see that type of unrest, and we don't want that. Who does? But we want to have those relationships in place so that if something happens that we're all communicating the right way and saying the right things and deal with the issue as it comes up, as opposed to trying to establish those relationships after something happens, because that's just not going to work.
Your department released a statement this week saying this city would pay a fired police officer, Aaron Brown, significant back pay. I know the department fired Brown for sending racist text messages with a government-owned cell phone, but, you know, the police union appealed, and an independent arbiter ruled twice that the city shouldn't have fired him and that it would have to provide back pay. I know this is something that the department fought against. You know, you've doubled down on the decision to fire Brown. How much exactly is the city on the hook now to pay them?
At this point, the figure, and I've had a recent conversation with the city solicitor, they are still trying to figure out the final amount. The Board of Mayor and Aldermen on Tuesday did approve to transfer a set amount of money back to the police budget to facilitate that payment when the time comes. The actual figure yet, if I was to give you a figure, it would probably be wrong at this point because they're still working with his union attorney to make sure that the calculation is correct.
It is in the six figures, though.
That would be a fair assessment, yeah.
What's Aaron Brown's current status with the department?
He is not employed here.
Are you going to have to rehire him?
No. Nope. We have no intention of rehiring, and I think what you find once all this settles out, that the agreement that is being worked on and being finalized will entail that he will never set foot in this building again.
If you've had an openly racist officer on the force, how do you go about earning the trust of people of color in the community?
I mean, that's fair. I mean, if I was a person of color and I read what was in the paper about Mr. Brown, I would be disgusted as well. I'm not ignoring Mr. Brown's behavior, but in all fairness to the PD and Chief Will and Chief Capano, I mean, it came to their attention, they dealt with it, and they took action. How an arbitrator ruled, you know as well as I do that, you know, that's out of my hands. I don't like it. But to gain the trust of the community back, we got to do exactly the things that I'm working to do and build on that Chief Capano did, those relationships in the community. You know, answer hard questions when asked, and if we make a mistake, we own it. I mean, we're not a perfect agency, but we do a lot of things well. But we do have to always work to build and maintain that trust. You just can't, you know, rest on your laurels when it comes to that.
Another recommendation brought forth by the Governor's Commission was for the state to create that independent statewide agency to investigate any complaints of misconduct against law enforcement. Right now, individual departments are responsible for handling those complaints against officers. Is mm-hmm. the statewide agency something that you would support?
I think if somebody was to do a deep dive into how Manchester PD handles internal investigations, I think you find that we do the right thing. You know, we're very transparent. We're very open. We advise the complainant of the outcome, whether, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm confident in our process here at the PD, but certainly if that comes out in legislation or a mandate from the Attorney General's office, of course we're going to abide by it because I have to. But, you know, in particular to Manchester PD, I'm confident in our process when it comes to investigating those matters.
You'd rather handle it in-house?
Because I know we do it the right way, and I know we do the right thing. But again, if I'm mandated by statute or through the AG's office, then of course I'm going to comply.
What would you like to accomplish most as police chief moving forward? What are your main priorities?
Making sure that we're organized properly and that we have organizational excellence throughout the agency, that we're responsive to the community concerns through problem-oriented policing, that we're prepared for any type of emergency that may take place, and that our response is appropriate. Recruitment and retention is a big one for me. So that's a difficult one for any police department currently across the country. I don't get the numbers applying like I used to. But we also have to retain what we have. And ultimate things that keep me up at night are the health and wellness of my officers, and maintaining their mental wellness is my number one priority.
Alan Aldenberg is the new police chief for the Manchester Police Department. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
This is Morning Edition on NHPR.